This is Radio Superior 1949, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1949. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
It's Thursday, May 12th, 1949. From the land of beautiful lakes, this is Jack McKenna, reminding you that when the red robin goes bob, bob, bobbing along, you'd better duck. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news. Harriet Farrig is in with the community news. And we have the best doggone music from the 1940s hit parade. And a sailor will be in to talk about Superior's greatest need.
What would that be?
I don't know.
You didn't ask?
No.
He just came up to you and said, I want to be on the radio and talk about Superior's greatest need. And you said, okay?
Well, yeah. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by Northwest Motors with a new family sedan, the Kaiser Traveler, on sale for just $22.48. Good evening, Lewis.
Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. The Berlin blockade is over. A stowaway on a Polish ship is identified as a leading American communist, and Israel is admitted to the United Nations. We begin our world report from Germany.
Hello, this is West Berlin, Max Gordon reporting. The Russians pulled out their German Iron Curtain today, ending their 327-day-old Berlin blockade, major sore spot of the Cold War. Ground traffic flowed on by rail and by highway, pouring supplies and passengers into the long-besieged old capital city from the west for the first time in nearly 11 months. The blockade lifting had all the fanfare of a Hollywood movie premiere, and the people, convinced that at last this phase of the Cold War was ended, swooped it up in the flag-decked city. The Russian and Western Allied military outdid each other in courtesy as the barricades went down, ending the blockade and the Allied counter-blockade. There was a display of goodwill and smiling readiness to cut red tape. But the Western Allies were taking nothing for granted. Their airlift, which had made the blockade a useless Soviet weapon by flying in the food, fuel, and raw materials needed by West Berlin's 3 million residents, continued flying. It is to continue at least 30 days, building a stockpile of supplies and giving a chance to really sound out Russian intentions. Today's flights kept supplies coming in at 500 tons per hour. Allied military trains, followed by food and fuel trains, were the first into Berlin after the barriers went down 1 minute after midnight. Foreign correspondents, racing down Hitler's famous superhighway, were the first into Berlin from the west. Berliners had been slow to respond for days, but today really got into the mood. End of the blockade means for them the promise of fresh food instead of dehydrated stuff the airlift had supplied them. The political splitting of the city between east and west remains as deep as ever, however. Each still had its own police force, city government, fire department, and other services. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan.
This is West Berlin, Stan Turner at the Tempelhof Aerodrome. The Berlin airlift began on June 26, 1948, 2 days after the Soviet Union blocked access to the three western sectors of Berlin. The Russians were reacting to a meeting of Allied powers in London that same month, which supported joining the French, British, and American sectors into one government, rebuilding Germany. It created a crisis in Soviet foreign policy. When the blockade began, U.S. Commander General Lucius Clay recommended sending a large armored column down the German Autobahn from West Germany to West Berlin. But President Truman believed that created an unacceptable risk of war. Instead, Mr. Truman ordered General Curtis LeMay of the United States Air Force in Europe to see if an airlift was possible. It was. With the help of the former commander of the India-China airlift in World War II, General Albert Wedemeyer devised a plan which began this 11-month effort. Dubbed Operation Vittles, 32 C-47 cargo planes landed on the first day. Joined by the French, British, Canadians, Australians, and New Zealanders, the airlift peaked last month by landing 1,400 planes in one day. That's about a plane a minute. The airlift was marked by good old Yankee ingenuity in more ways than one. Pilot Gail Halverson dropped candy with little parachutes from his cargo plane, a practice taken up by many others in the coming months. This airlift was not without great sacrifice. 39 British and 31 American pilots lost their lives during the operation. In West Berlin, this is Stan Turner, calling New York.
This is Lyle C. Wilson, United Press in New York. President Truman pledged his administration today to full support of the United Nations, despite disappointment that it has failed to achieve greater security for the world. He submitted to Congress a report on the UN, which placed blame for the failure on Russia. At the same time, he cited the North Atlantic Treaty, now awaiting Senate ratification, as a means of bolstering the world organization. His report included a letter from Secretary of State Dean Acheson. Acheson declared that, quoting now, "Both hope and disappointment marked the American participation in the UN. The hope grew out of the continuing feeling that the principles of the United Nations Charter offer the best basis of a peaceful world with international justice and respect for individual human rights. Most members of the organization are working loyally in that direction," end quote. In New York, this is Lyle C. Wilson. Come in, Great Britain.
This is London calling, Webb Miller, your correspondent. Immigration Commissioner Watson Miller says a stowaway aboard a Polish ship at sea has been identified as Gerhard Eisler, missing alien communist. The 52-year-old Eisler is facing two possible jail sentences in the United States. He disappeared last week from his home in New York while free on a $23,000 bail. The liner sailed from New York 6 days past. It radioed that a German stowaway aboard identified himself as Eisler. The ship is due at Southampton tomorrow. Eisler has admitted being a communist, but denies being the number one Red in America, as alleged before the House Committee on Un-American Activities. He sought help from the United Nations in an effort to leave the United States voluntarily and return to his native Germany. He is one of more than 30 alleged alien communists accused in deportation proceedings in the past 2 years. He has had an appeal pending before the U.S. Supreme Court for a one-year sentence. The penalty was imposed on a conviction of contempt of the American Congress growing out of his refusal to be sworn in as a witness. The government charged in deportation proceedings that Eisler came to the United States in an effort to disrupt the nation's economy. In London, this is Webb Miller speaking.
President Truman told reporters at his news conference today that he still needs $4 billion to avoid a deficit and pay off the national debt. The last estimate of this year's deficit puts the nation's $500 million in the red. Mr. Truman also said that he's happy that the Berlin crisis is over and that this may help warm international relations. The armed forces are beginning to work on a rocket testing range across the Caribbean. Legislation authorizing construction of the long-range proving grounds for guided missiles was signed today by President Truman. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:09. Jack McKenna has this message from Northwest Motors.
Thank you, Lou. Indeed, I have. Hey, folks, have you seen the new Kaiser Traveler? Two cars in one. How's that, you say? Well, from family sedan to pickup van in just 10 seconds. Lower half of divided deck lid drops to bumper level, forms extra cargo floor at rear. Upper half of deck lid and entire rear window panel raised to roof level height for maximum capacity and easy loading. How about that? See it at Northwest Motors Incorporated, 2248 for that car, delivered in Superior. See it there at Northwest Motors in Superior, 1814 Belknap. Lou?
A 19-year-old Duluth man may be charged with homicide after he hit and killed a Parkland man with his car. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has details.
Sheriff reports say 69-year-old Tony Klenchak was struck and killed by the car driven by Roy Eckberg of Duluth. Eckberg's auto went out of control Tuesday afternoon after striking Mr. Klenchak outside of Itasca on Highways 2 and 53. Douglas County District Attorney Andy Borg says no action will be taken until Eckberg recovers more from his injuries from the crash. Mr. Borg says results of the blood test taken from Eckberg after the accident indicate the driver had a 24% alcohol level. 15% is considered an indication that the driver was under the influence. Mr. Borg says Mr. Eckberg could face a negligent homicide charge, Lou.
Superior is showing a healthy streak. Communicable diseases like German measles, mumps, scarlet fever, chicken pox, and whooping cough are down 54% so far this year. That compares with a decline of 20% statewide. Finally, the Superior and Douglas County Safety Council is holding a tag day this Saturday. The council is asking people to buy a tag to promote accident prevention. 47 people died from accidents last year, including 13 in the home, 12 motor vehicle crashes, 9 drownings, and 8 industrial fatalities. Proceeds from the Tag Day sale will be used to finish paying for the resuscitator at Patterson Park and for a county ambulance, Jack.
Now take 6 tags.
I don't have any tags.
Uh-oh. Lou Martin, the most dangerous newsman around. Now the forecast for this Thursday evening, May 12th, 1949. Cooler with a northeasterly wind off Lake Superior tonight and a low of about 40 degrees. Tomorrow's high under fair sky should reach about 52 degrees. Hot dog. Hey, it's music time. Here's Tommy Dorsey and his orchestra and the Huckle Book on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Thank you.
Old TD and the Hucklebuck on station KUWS. Incidentally, that was Charlie Shavers on the vocals. Lund's is having a special on fishing line just for this weekend's fishing opener. Lund's will sell you 50 yards of good casting line, Lou, for just a penny. The catch? Well, always is a catch. A big fat trout, we hope. But also, you have to buy a rod and reel to get the deal. Hey, that rhymes. Rods starting at $3.75 and reels at $2.50. All at Lund's, 1817 Belknap in Superior. Reel in a big bargain now, folks. And oh, look at this. The most eagerly awaited event besides Lou asking Harriet the big question.
That's not funny.
It's the third annual Duluth Home Show. It started Monday and runs through May 15th at the Duluth Armory. Featuring stars of radio and stage like Bonnie Baker, the original Oh Johnny girl, and Columbia recording artist Frankie Yankovic and his Yanks. See the latest to improve your home and enjoy the entertainment at the Duluth Armory. Just 50 cents for adults and 35 cents for the kiddies. The Sailor with a special message is next. Lou can't wait. Here's Deanna Durbin and Always on the Martin and McKenna Show. Deanna Durbin and Always on station KUWS. Hiya, Lou.
Let me introduce, I'm sorry, I don't have your name.
A Great Lake Sailor.
A Great Lake Sailor?
Yeah, his friends call him Great.
Say, you know that Eisler guy who stowed away on that Polish ship?
Not personally, no.
Well, he gave himself up after 6 days. My guess is he had to go to the bathroom pretty bad. That's the biggest problem for stowaways, going to the bathroom and going hungry.
Of course, if you go hungry, then you don't have to go to the bathroom so much.
You are supposedly here to talk about Superior's greatest need. What would that be?
I'm getting there, young feller. I'm getting there. This stowaway thing was a good lead up to it. Here, I wrote it all out. I have long been a confirmed booster of Superior. I appreciate its climate, its many churches, wonderful education system, its many nice homes and low crime rate. But I, and many others, deplore the lack of public comfort stations. There just isn't any place a distressed person can retire to except a saloon restroom, most of which are not too clean. If a lady has to come in off the street to attend the care of a small child, she has to run the gauntlet of assorted barflies, wolves, cut-ups, and inebriates. I visit many of the ports on the Great Lakes.
Yeah, I'll bet that's why they call him Great Lake Sailor.
Each season, and Superior is about the only port where personal comfort for visitors and evening strollers is neglected. Even Huron, Ohio, with one-tenth the population of Superior, is able to maintain a convenient comfort station. With unemployment increasing in Superior, how about erecting a couple of inexpensive comfort stations? Say, one in the East End and one in the main part of town, and employ an attendant at each. I note our taxes are increasing regularly. How about putting a little of that tax increase into public comfort stations?
Thank you, Mr. Great Lake Sailor.
Well, I'm jazzed. That guy's right. We need more biffies. Maybe we could have a bathroom driver or something, just like the war years. Instead of bond drive, it'll be a... Hey, I got it. We'll call it Toilets for Tourists.
No, we won't.
Hey, that's got a ring to it.
It seems to me that we're running short on time.
Superior will be flush with pride, will be our slogan.
I like it.
Music, please.
Here's a new one by the Ames Brothers and Ragmop on the Martin and McKenna Show.
M, I say M-O, M-O-P, M-O-P-P, mop, M-O-P-P, mop, 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 mop. I say R-A, R-A-G, R-A-G-G. G-G-M-O-P-P, Ragmop.
The Ames Brothers with great harmony on Ragmop on station KUWS.
Let me introduce community editor Harriet Farrig with an important announcement.
I thought maybe she'd left town. Something about toilets for tourists?
Well, there's something to be said about that.
The less, the better, in my book.
My message is for all mothers with children.
What other kind are there?
Oh, I mean small children. And no matter how hard you try, Jack McKenna, I'm not going to say it. Not today. The City Health Department is having a full schedule of inoculation clinics tomorrow morning. This is so important for our children's health, ladies. At 9 a.m., inoculations will be given at the Cooper, Franklin, Itasca, and St. Anthony schools. At 10:30 until noon, they'll be giving shots at St. Patrick's and Lincoln schools.
Oh, I hate shots. Oh. I used to cry when I got my shots.
What do you mean, used to?
A varied program will be held for the Salem Ladies Spring Tea tomorrow at Pilgrim Lutheran Church. Miss Mildred Olson will be the soloist, and she'll be accompanied by Mrs. Gus Anderson. The fun starts at 8 o'clock.
How can she be a soloist if she's got help?
I'm not doing it. I promised this one time I won't. So I won't.
Do what?
You know... Jack!
Oh!
The Superior Chapter of Hadassah will close its season at a tea next Wednesday at 8 o'clock at the Hammond Avenue Center. Celebration of the first anniversary of the State of Israel will also be observed. Joyce Brettboard of Duluth will give a humorous reading.
Otherwise known as the news.
Jack! Oh, darn!
Gotcha!
Oh, Jack! Anyway, the girls' group, Young Jews, will present several Hebrew dances and songs, Lewis.
Community editor Harriet Farrig. Very interesting.
Thank you, Lewis.
Just for you, Harriet, my favorite community editor, let's swing and sway with Sammy Kay. And a room full of... No, a room full of roses, not noses. Just for Harriet on the Martin and McKenna Show.
If I said a rose to you for every time you made me blue, you'd have a room full of roses. If I said a rose of white for every time I cried all night, you send some roses too. Well, I don't.
Sammy Kay and A Room Full of Roses.
So, Lewis, I don't understand why the United States wants to get that communist stowaway to come back here when it seems we really don't want him at all.
Yeah, that is weird.
The times are a little strange. 4 years ago, we were celebrating the joining of American troops with Russians at the Elbe River in Germany. Now, we're enemies and helping the Germans.
I don't like commies, you know. You have to share everything and call everyone Conrad.
That's comrade. Joe Stalin has made it clear that he'll control every country in Europe and in the Middle East that he can. That means places like Yugoslavia, Hungary, Poland, and other Eastern European countries are dictatorships. That's disturbing because freedom is what America is all about. So guys like Eisler make a lot of people nervous.
Maybe if everyone just went fishing this weekend, there'd be fewer nervous people worried about that stuff. Stay tuned for Walter Winchell. He's the guy whose nose is in everyone else's business, followed by Mr. District Attorney and One Man's Family. We'll be back, same time, same place on your radio dial, the good Lord willing, that is, and I don't have to get inoculated. Ouch. For Lou Martin and Harriet Farig, then, this is Jack McKenna, wishing one and all a good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1949, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Duke Skorich, John Munson, John Munsell, Brian Matuzak. All events reported on Radio Superior 1949 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.